I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Alex Keery. He's Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback, former University of Utah great. Of course, also calls the games on the radio for the University of Utah.
Not this fall.
When they play, so that's exciting, you know. When that gets going again,
do you know how? Do you ever have that feeling where there's just something you're really excited, you're really looking forward to
yes.
it, and then it and it
and every it, once in a while you remember and go, oh yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Yep, and then it gets canceled. Ooh. It's just the worst feeling in the world. I hate it.
It's and it's never happened in our lifetime. Of course, it's a very weird thing for us to be able to experience this. I don't know how exactly the spring football situation is going to work, Scott. When it comes down to it,
it can work.
The idea of spring being rolled out, initially I thought this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard because there's just no way. How are they going to ask these guys to do it? We've been asking the question. Now, the head coach of Ohio State football, Ryan Day, was pretty open about, look, we're going to try to figure out a way to play this season even if the – and then – And then Gene Smith, the athletic director for Ohio State, was like, "Don't even finish that statement. We're not playing. Like, if the rest of the conference doesn't play, we're going to do what everybody else does, and that is, try to push this thing to January." Which I keep thinking to myself, "How are they going to do January?" But this is what the explanation that he gave was, and I'm interested to see what your thought is as to how this would work for January football to start up.
In my opinion, our staff, we've met on this with Gene. And I think that starting, you know, the first week of January would be the best way to go, an 8-week season. And that way there is some separation between that season and the next season and, allow some of the mid-year guys to come in and possibly, you know, play a 2-for-1. You know, they get two seasons in one calendar year, which, you know, the recruits, I think, would be really excited about. That's kind of the focus right now is trying to, you know, put this plan together.
So, interesting thought from
no, it's the,
from
him. It's the only way. Yeah, it's the
I don't
only
know
way
how,
you can.
I don't know how it works. I don't know how it would work.
No, that would work. I mean, you, there's major concessions you're going to have to give up. One is you got to start early. There's no question. You do need that separation. But two, it also gives some of these players an opportunity to prepare for the combine and prepare for the draft if they have the opportunity to go play in the NFL. You're not going to have anyone who is a really good player like a Trevor Lawrence or Sene
Penei Sewell. Yeah.
I said his name backwards.
Yeah.
They're locked. So there's no added benefit for them playing. But a lot of these other players, it would be phenomenal. And it does give you that separation of time where you can recover. And it, actually, if they could do it. And because, you know, in the past, we were thinking of a completed season, 12 games. You have some championship games. You have all these different things. I think a more realistic thing is maybe you have six games, you have a couple of playoff games, and you have a championship game. That might make it a little bit more meaningful, not having a bowl game and all those different things. So, and who knows, if you're the Pac-12 and you do this, maybe then you have an opportunity to go to Las Vegas and maybe some of the fans can show up in that stadium, and that would certainly be a nice concession to what has happened in the fall. But if you're a team like Utah, Alex, this could be the best scenario that they could possibly imagine, because they've got to give them some time to practice in the fall. So it's almost like they have some spring type of
they
practice.
They would be able to get together based on this, right? That they could get together and play some games in January.
And then the month of December, which wouldn't be all bad because, you know, they're not in school a lot of it. They have their fall camp in preparation for starting. You're going to compete against the NFL in the playoffs. But you are going to get some mid-year guys that could potentially come in. It could certainly help in recruiting because you're going to get hurt by it on one side of this. And so, you know, if you're an incoming freshman, wow, this is cool. I can actually play right now.
Yeah, but I thought we talked about last night how the 2-for-1 is actually really irresponsible and not very safe at all to be able to go.
But if they have the time, though, the time is
done in mid up March.
Right.
Which is when, you know, spring football would be done anyway, right? So you talk about spring football, the spring scrimmages typically happen mid to late March. If you're at the University of Utah, usually it's like first weekend in April. And let's say that gets done there. The collective bargaining agreement of the NFL says that the draft can be held no later than June 1st. This could work timing-wise. You get your guys in there. You could have a combine that's maybe mid-May or whatever, or early May, after the season went, 6 weeks after the season, because you want to be able to get those guys into combine shape, so to speak, or maybe get some guys, ready for – certainly there are going to be injuries and things like that between January and March in some of these teams because that's the nature of the game. But I don't know. When he said a 2-for-1 – with everything ending 8 weeks after January 1st, then you're able to tell these young kids, hey, man, you come right in. You could come into the program and start working out and start being a part of the team, start playing already. Let's say they played in this. Could you do this, Scott? Your guys come in, graduate early from high school. They go in and they play or they get ready for this season. And by, you know, middle of January, maybe they join the team and they're already playing. And then by the time the fall comes around, they're playing their second college football season at less than a year after they graduated from high school.
I almost think that if they get like six games in a season, they shouldn't even count it as a season. And they should just say, hey, you know, it's a bonus.
It's
just bonus time. But what it does for Utah, where they super inexperienced this year. I mean, nine guys on defense, they lose a quarterback, running back on offense. The two key positions on offense, they're going to go into the fall having to, you know, learn on the fly with a conference only schedule. Now that's gone, they can get more practice because they haven't had any practice. They had like two spring practice days before it all shut down. So now they have some practice time. They're going to have games in the spring, real, because you just learn so much in games. And no one really cares, right? I mean, whatever happens, it's all bonus time in the spring anyway. So no one really cares. And they really get this really good experience. Boom, they go into the fall and they're ready to compete on a regular basis. It's a massive if it happens again, it's really got to happen. I don't know that it would. I don't know that by January they're going to go, yeah, this is totally different now. Because it's like if it's totally different by January, why didn't you just do the regular season? But the concession has to be you're only going to play 6 to 8 games. So it's going to be a shortened season, you know, half, maybe a little bit more than what you'd normally play.
Yeah.
And you're not going to bowl games, you know, limited championships, whatever. I really think this could work. I'm just really, you know, waiting with bated breath to see how this kind of bifurcation of the all of the teams, how it works for eligibility.
The NCAA's got quite the task on their hand, but they'll certainly err on the side of making sure guys get eligibility that they felt like they were shorted on, right?
I think they'll just err on the side of confusion, because I never understand any of the decisions they make, because there's no consistency in it. It's just kind of, it's this way for this situation and that way for that situation. And
well, they're always just like, they're kind of half in and half out on understanding on how some guys get eligibility, immediate eligibility versus, you know, waiting a year, getting that gray shirt versus a medical red shirt versus whatever. I'm interested to see how they're going to do that. Let me switch gears real quick before we get out to the break, because we found out today that a high school team, Bingham High School, is not going to play their game against Weber High School because, and this is their opening week, because some players tested positive, or at least a player tested positive for COVID-19 on that Bingham squad. How on earth is high school football going to happen this year if we start to see these kinds of things? Or is it just it's an inevitability and we're just going to kind of keep going along as the season plays and just try to get in as much football as possible? You have a son who is going into his senior year playing.
You're going to have start and stops. You're going to have kind of we're figuring out as we go along. We don't have the answers. We don't know. And you're probably going to get some people that lie. I mean, they're going to hide whatever they can. I mean, they're going to
say, "Don't tell me."
Yeah,
don't tell me if you're getting those symptoms. We're already seeing some versions of that, because the way we have found out about some of these other teams who may have tested positive. I mean, is people are texting in or people are calling the school district going, "Hey, why is it that my kid was told to be quiet about this by their coaches, and then the superintendent doesn't know about it, or the school spokesperson doesn't know about it?" And I think you said it earlier today. You go, look, high school coaches are it's just the Wild West sometimes.
I used to know one.
Yes, you used to know
used to
one.
Be one.
Pretty closely. No, but the idea of somebody, you know, I know that this has happened with my kids, where the coaches will go, "Now we'll have to shut the season down if we know about it." Hello, you know, like kind of giving you the wink, wink. And I remember thinking to myself, and a lot of parents are going, "Yep, and we're going to win the championship this year. So let's don't screw it up. Don't be the kid who comes forward and says, I got sick," you know.
With all this talk about, you know, spring football and high school football, don't be surprised if neither happens. I mean, and I'm talking about the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. Don't be surprised if football doesn't happen in January. They had a great plan in place, but they were quick to pull the rug. It's going to be a major undertaking to make it work and make it happen. And I just wouldn't get your hopes up if you think it's gonna end up that way.
I got a text from one of my friends just now. He said, "Give it to me straight. Is college football going to happen this year? Just tell me." And I said, "I don't think in this state. I think the SEC is the NFL light, and they will try their darndest to have some sort of a season. I don't know if, I mean, Mitch, the way Mitch talked about it too when he just came on, talking about BYU, it was like, yeah, they know that this is kind of like, they're living on borrowed time here. They could have their season pulled out from under them at any time, and it almost sounds like they're waiting for not enough scheduling or not enough positive notes on this, and we'll see how it happens. We're going to take the break here. We're going to come back. Let's talk about the NBA actually has some bubble awards that they want to give out. This is not a joke. This is not an SNL skit. They actually want to give out bubble awards. I don't know what bubble awards the Jazz would be up for. Maybe there is a tanking award. I'm not sure. Stay with us. More to go right here. It's KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.